Well, isn't that our great hope that the grave will be robbed? Yeah. And so the grave was robbed when Jesus rose from the dead. And because he was risen, the Bible says he's going to rob our grave too if we die, right? And that is great news. What I want to do right now is to put you to work for the week. And what am I talking about? I don't know if you feel this way, but I don't think I've ever seen such turmoil in government as I've been seeing these days. And so when the FBI does their job this coming week, what is our job as a church? To pray. And so I go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly, dignified in every way. We need to pray. We're in trouble. And the church stands in the gap. And if we get our job done, the Word of God says life can be better. So I'm going to ask you to pray very, very specifically this week. Also, prayer. You heard about the tsunami. And there are almost 1,000 people anyway that have died in earthquake and tsunami over in Indonesia. How we need to pray as a church that God would move in a mighty way in that time of tragedy. Okay, to today's sermon, I'm talking about our amazing God in a series of 4 weeks, just scratching the surface. Today I'm talking about God's amazing patience. And God has such patience to endure and to wait in the worst of times. And if you would talk to my wife, she would tell you, I am not a patient man. God is so opposite from me. I'm a type A. God's type A too, I think, but God's got his patience going really well. And that's what I want you to see today, the amazing patience of God. In his book, The Divine Romance, Gene Edwards describes a scene in which the angels are beholding God in this unlimited state. And let me tell you, one day we'll join the angels and we'll behold him too. But let me give you a preview of what that will be like as he writes. Not even in the wildest imagining of their spirits could they have conceived of a God so utterly without limit, so vast, so powerful, so all-encompassing. Some dropped to their knees, others, not knowing what to do, covered their eyes in the presence of such revealed glory. The angelic host was being allowed to see the very center of the depths of God. The scene before them grew brighter. Great shafts of sparkling light and storms of flashing brightness emerged. Then, at the very core of this ocean of godness, marked off portions of his being began to become evident. So I'm talking about our amazing God. We're looking at these marked off portions at the center of his being. And I trust that we are absolutely amazed. If you are not amazed at these portions of God, something's broken in your spirit. And I'm praying that God would fix us all to see the amazing God that he really is. And so I want you to see God's amazing patience from the scriptures as I start today, giving you just a small sampling of the many, many, many notices of God's patience in the scriptures. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? The Lord is slow to anger, that's patience, and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. The Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. For the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you in order not to cut you off. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. And so you may be seated. As you're seated, I'm saying, wow and amen. Put those together. Isn't that awesome? Wow and amen. The patience of God. So what I want to do first of all is bring you into an understanding of the basic patience concept in the Bible, and then I want to apply it to God. First of all, the basic idea of patience in the Bible is restraint in the face of opposition, oppression, and difficulties. Now, we only have one basic word for patience in English, but we have two primary words in the Greek language. And so when we translate those two words, we don't always get the nuances of them when we come over to our word patience. But the first word translated patience is slow to anger. And it has the idea of withholding angry actions towards people who are not performing up to expectations or standards or who frustrate us over periods of time. So we see that the basic thrust of this one is forbearance towards people. The second word means endurance in the midst of trying and difficult circumstances. The idea of handling pain and trials with self-control and without complaint. And you see the basic focus of that is patience with circumstances. So we have patience with people, patience with circumstances. Does anybody need patience in both of those areas besides me? Yes, okay, so I trust I have your ear. So I want to talk about then how this patience comes to bear in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. There are three basic aspects of this kind of patience. First of all, to have this kind of patience, you need a difficult challenge. A quick challenge that passes does not need patience. But whether it be a person or a situation that's not favorable to you or your agenda, causing you considerable amounts of frustration or pain, that's when patience is needed. The second component is a prolonged time. The frustrating person or the frustrating circumstance does not go away. It hangs around. It doesn't look like there's any hope that it's going to leave anytime soon. So you have the challenge. You have the time lapse. The third thing about biblical patience is a God-like response. Challenge, it won't go away. What would God do? You purpose to meet the wrong, the pressure, the difficulties with God-like restraint. And we'll be talking about this restraint throughout the sermon. But what is our natural response? To get angry quick, to fix it ourselves, to control, to be vengeful. It's not a God-like response. So in the Bible, patience for people is acting like God in an irritating situation that won't go away. Am I relating to anybody? That's patience. That's what we're talking about. So now that we have some understanding about patience, about people, as it relates to God, let's apply patience to God himself. What is this patient God like? And so we're going to look at what God's amazing patience is all about. So let's take a look at God's patience. The Bible says that God is patient, and it means the gracious and merciful restraint of God in the face of ongoing and intense provocation. Let me say that again. God's patience is the gracious and merciful restraint of God. He holds back in the face of ongoing and intense provocation. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that God is good to people who keep on willfully sinning against him. God withholds deserved judgment while he continues to offer forgiveness, salvation, and grace. Over prolonged periods of time, God puts up with sin. That's his patience. Now, to be clear, it doesn't say that God's going to not ever judge sin. He will. But his patience delays it. And eventually God's cup of wrath will become full. But in the meantime, his patience is compensating for that. So here's the big idea of my sermon. The patience of God is his predominant way of dealing with the world in this present age. You hear what I said? The patience of God is the predominant way that he deals with this world in the present age. And after I demonstrate what I'm talking about here, then at the end, I'm going to have us respond in worship in some unison responses. So get ready for that as you begin to worship God as I preach. Now, the patience of God has many features, But I'm going to highlight four of them today, four features of God's patience that I think should overwhelm every one of us with gratitude and amazement. Feature number one, God's patience is what manages his anger. God's patience is what manages his anger. What am I talking about? Well, the Old Testament and the New. The Old Testament, you see God's wrath, God's anger. Revelation, you see God's anger, God's wrath. And what do you see? You also see it talking about his patience. Multiple times about his patience. And so in the Old Testament, in the middle of his anger, you see that the Lord God is slow to anger. I just talked about that. Slow to anger as I read the Word of God. Now, the Hebrew word for slow to anger is a word picture that literally means long of nose. When you are slow to anger, you are long of nose. What are we talking about? When you're angry, what happens to your nose? It flares and it looks a little shorter. And the Hebrew concept picked this up, that your nose is long in patience and short in anger. And it says God's nose is long towards us. But what we see of God's anger today is put on the back burner because his patience is managing his anger. Let me say it another way. God is incredibly slow to execute his judgment on people who go deep and long and willfully into sin. He is so patient. God's patience is exercised, though, only in that context. Long periods of willful rebellion of men and women on the earth. When we stumble and get up and ask for God's forgiveness, God doesn't need patience then. God only needs patience when it doesn't go away. And the anger of God needs the patience to manage it because he is willing to wait. Now, I am more impatient, and if I were God, it wouldn't be good for the world. I'd be more like James and John when they were upset about what was going on, said to the Lord, "Do you want us to call down fire and consume these people?" That would be me, I think. If I were God, I'd be pretty mad at people who openly and willfully sin. I mean, I'm talking about some big names in Hollywood. I'm talking about big name authors. I'm talking about big name scientists. I'm talking about big name leaders who lead movements in this world that champion causes that are patently evil. And they do it boldly and unashamedly in the face of the God of heaven. And if I were God, I'd let them know I'm mad at them. And I'd give them some warnings. And I think about doing to them what happened to the sons of Korah. Open up earth and swallow them. Or maybe Herod. Remember, he was at Caesarea Maritima in the amphitheater and God sent worms and ate the guy. It's amazing. See, aren't you glad I'm not God? God doesn't work that way today. Today, God is slow to anger. And I want you to know that his patience manages his wrath today and he waits. But there's a second feature that I want you to see about God. Not only his patience manages his anger, but number two, God's patience resides in the area between righteousness and his judgment. Resides in the area between his righteousness and his judgment. What am I talking about? Well, on the one hand, God is perfect. He's holy. He's pure. Nothing evil can enter his presence. And because of that, there will always be righteousness and never a taint of evil or unholiness will come. But also on the other hand, over here is sin and evil. And in the presence of righteousness, that must be judged legally. There must be a compensation for the evil and sin over here, and God must judge that. But it's not happening. Why? Because in the middle is residing patience right now. And so in this era, while God is righteous on this side and evil will be paid for someday, in the middle is his patience. He's postponing the judgment. It's absolutely amazing, his heart to do that. And so feature number two is about God's patience residing between his righteousness and his judgment. And you take away patience, what's going to happen? Judgment. But during this era, patience is between his righteousness and his judgment. Anybody happy about that? I know I am. But there's a third feature that I want you to see. God's patience is active, not passive. It's active, not passive. What am I talking about here? Well, you might be tempted to think God isn't doing anything about evil, that God is lenient, that God looks the other way, that God is a celestial enabler. Nothing could be further from the truth. I want you to see how God's patience is active in the world today. And here it is. God's patience is not judgment driven. His patience is salvation driven. So he is not acting in judgment today. He's kind of silent. But what is he doing in his activity? He is bringing to the world through the power of the Holy Spirit the opportunity to respond to the gospel of everlasting life. And so he's very active that way. And so the major emphasis of God in the New Testament is this. God is giving more time for people to repent. That's his activity. Romans 2:4 says, "Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" There's a waiting going on. And in the middle of that waiting, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any would perish, but all come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:15, "Regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation." And so God bears with people's sin in order to be actively bringing them the gospel. So do you understand what I've said? You say, God is not doing anything during this evil period. He is. He's not judging. He is bringing the gospel to the world. How does he do that? Through his missionaries. There are thousands of missionaries around the world. God is active in bringing the gospel through these missionaries. There are many, many thousands of pastors and churches just like us today. And God is speaking through pastors to people that they would come to know Christ. He's active in his church. And then guess what? He's got millions and millions and millions of Christians who he activates to go into the world and preach the gospel, so to speak, to witness to your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers, to live in your neighborhood as a witness. And God is working today powerfully through the gospel of Christ while he is silent in his judgment. He is active in winning people to Christ. And that's the reason we got as far as 2018. God is not slow counting his promise. He's waiting for more to come to Christ. And the good news is this. We are part of his activity. God is moving forward. He says, "Join me. You are part of what I want to do in the world." Now, this would be a good time to remind you how important it is to invite people to church. Do you know a study says that 47% of people who don't go to church would consider an invitation by you if you would ask them? That's almost one out of two would consider coming to church if you would ask. And the amazing thing was, I preached that this morning in the first service, and after the first service, they came up to me and somebody said, "This person is here for the first time because I invited her to come." I thought, woo, woo. And that's the reason I put in the bulletin what I put in there about the power of an invitation. I want you to read that. More than read it, I would like this church to become an inviting church. That you all have your network of friends to invite them to church. And guess what? Maybe one out of two would come. See all these empty chairs in here? God's waiting to fill them up. And he wants people to know his love. He wants people to know his salvation. So I want you to see that God's patience is not passive. It is active in the sense that he is trying through his church to reach the world for Christ. And here's the last feature. I love this one. God's patience reflects his incredible heart of love. When you look at God's patience, you're supposed to see his love. Now, when people sin against us, how many have ever been hurt by somebody? You see your hand? Yeah, we all have. Yeah. People sin against us. What? Especially if we're closer to them. Especially if they're people in the church and whatever. What happens to us? What do we feel? We feel pain. We feel anger. And I feel that way myself. It's amazing, though, that people mishandle that transgression against them very poorly. And so many times they break relationships, they get divorced if they're couples. They leave churches. They stop speaking to one another. People have a hard time dealing with this kind of pain when they're sinned against. But I want you to know something. We've never been sinned against like God's been sinned against. And if there's pain to talk about, it is His pain. He's been pained by billions of people over all the thousands of years this earth has been by. None of us has ever experienced the pain that God has experienced. But the thing of it is, He keeps on showing His love in the midst of His pain. Once again, I've often thought, if I were God, aren't you glad I'm not? If I were God, I would tell you the world wouldn't last 1 week. It wouldn't last 1 week. I mean, just think about this. In 1 week's time, think about all the sin in 1 week's time, day and night, among 7 billion people in the world. I couldn't take it. But God does. And what does God do with all His pain? He shows us His love, His heart of love. As I said earlier, God is slow to anger. He's a God with a long nose. And with that long nose, He continues to show us His love. And do you know that that phrase, long of nose, slow to anger, hardly ever exists alone in the Old Testament. It's got a cluster of words around it. God is slow to anger, but He's forgiving and compassionate, merciful, gracious, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And all of these expressions wrap around patience to show you the loving heart of God in a world whose sin is out of control. The loving heart of God is to extend everything He can of Himself, even when we hurt Him. And God will never say to you, and I'll never say to any sinner in the world, because you hurt me, I'm turning my back on you and I'm going to hurt you. He won't do that. He'll look you in the eyes and say, my heart is for you. I love you even in my pain. This is what patience shows us. The loving heart of God. And so feature number 4 is God's patience reflects His incredible heart, and we really don't have any framework in humans to understand that, to be hurt so bad and to love so much. Well, we've seen 4 features today of God's amazing patience. Are you touched? I hope that you are. Most of us model the exact opposite when we get hurt, when we are impatient with people and circumstances. I mean, aren't we an impatient society? What's the key word? Fast. Fast. Everything fast. To romance, to food, to travel, to spirituality, to microwaves, to computers was never fast enough. And even in our spirituality, we want God to come through fast for us. We don't want to have to wait on the Lord. We want instant relief from our challenges. And in our impatience, we often miss the marvel of God's amazing patience. One of the best illustrations I've ever seen about patience is in my son, Jason. 21 years ago, he was in a near-fatal car truck accident, left him with handicaps. And he only got a car about last week or so. So he's driving around and now, but for those 20-some years, he was captive to other people taking him to doctor's appointments, to the store, to a recreational place. But guess what? A lot of people wouldn't come on time. And he'd be outside waiting, sometimes in the rain, sometimes in the cold. If that were me waiting in the rain and the cold for somebody who said they'd pick me up at 1:30 and they didn't come till 10 till 2, when I got in their car, I'd say, so what's the big deal? You know, I just froze my tail for you. And all that kind of stuff. You know, he never did that. Not once. And guess what? I forgot him a couple times. He never took my head off. Not one time. And I thought to myself, that's finite. God's patience is infinite that way. That's a picture of God's great patience to all of us. As I close this sermon, I want us to have 4 responses. I'm going to give you 4 reasons to worship God for His amazing patience. And then I want us to respond in unison as I lead you. The words will be on the screen. First reason to worship God: He doesn't let His wounded feelings control Him. Isn't that good? That's what we do. We let our wounded feelings control us. But he doesn't. Nobody's ever been hurt more than God, but God continues to love the world. And in his will and eternal plan, he postpones his wrath in favor of his love. Can we worship a God like that? Let's respond. Oh God, in unison, we worship you for your great patience, that you restrain your hand from judgment. We praise you that we are not consumed. The second reason to praise God and worship for his patience is that God is giving. Our friends, relatives, co-workers, and neighbors, and the world more time to get right with him. God's current agenda is not to judge people, but to wait for them to come to Christ. And I'm inspired to worship a God who loves people so much that even the worst of sinners he's waiting for with a heart of love. And so would you respond in unison? God, we worship you today because you love people far more than we ever could. Even the people we don't love, you love. We worship you because you're giving everyone more time to come to you. Third reason to worship God. God patiently waits for us to get closer to him. Did you realize that? God isn't kicking us in the pants. God isn't screaming and saying, by now you ought to be mature. God waits for us. He knows our secret sins. He knows our motives. He knows that many times he's not at the center of our lives, but he continues to wait in patience for us. He doesn't crush us. And even when we don't forsake our sin, he waits for us to grow, to repent, and then to grow. He waits for us to spiritual maturity. Isn't it amazing how patient God is with each one of us? And so let's worship him in unison. We worship you, O Lord, for waiting for us. We're so into ourselves and spiritually sluggish. We're here today because in your patience, you've waited years for us to get as far as we have. And you continue to wait. Oh God, forgive us. All we can do is worship you and thank you. And the fourth reason to worship him, God is willing to use people like us as instruments of his patience. Can you imagine that? God wants us to show the world what his patience is like. To our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors, to people who cut us off on the road. He wants us to show our patience even when we get hurt by people in our family and even in the church. He wants us to show patience when things go slower than we want them to be resolved. And God wants us to be examples of his patience by keeping our tempers and our mouths in check. And he wants us to model to others the patience of God through our lives. And we need to marvel that God would use people like us to demonstrate his patience to the world. And so in unison, let's respond in worship. We worship you, God, for using imperfect vessels like us to display your patience in the world. You're so patient with us, and we're so impatient with others. We worship you for using us when you could have written us off and done it some other way. I don't know why you came to church, but I hope you'll leave today with a new and compelling glimpse of the marked off patience of the center of God and worship him all week long. Would you please bow your heads? No one looking around. I want to give an invitation by hands today. If you are here today and you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've never come to know him or trust him, you're not quite sure, this would be a great time to accept his son as your Savior because he's been waiting patiently all these years for you. And if that's your situation, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you, not by name. This is between you and God and me. But is there anybody here who'd like to receive Christ as their Savior? Just raise your hand and I'll see it and you can take it down. Anyone? Okay, how about if you're a Christian and you stepped out of the will of God and you remain there, you're living a lifestyle that you know is not pleasing to God, you remain there, and today you've heard of God's patience and you want to be compelled back to him, and by uplifted hand you're saying, I want to get things right with God. I want to step out of this life I've been in. God's been waiting for me. I want to get things right with my God today, right now. Is there anybody who'd raise their hand about that? Okay, thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God's waiting. Yes, God's waiting for you. Four people. God's speaking to. He's not judging you. He's waiting in love to get next to you and put you on his lap like his little boy, Abba, our Father. Father, thank you for so great salvation. And I pray that if somebody here today that has not received you, they'd come to know you. And for those who raised their hands, Father, you spoke to them about something. They stepped out for a while where they ought to be, and they felt that today. And then they put that in the backdrop of the patience of God, and they said, I got to do something about this. God's so patient. I'm going to do something. I want to get next to my God in the right way. Because, Father, we know that you're all in with us. Your patience tells us, may we be all in with you. Touch these people right now and beyond. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we close with a video. All in. I hope you're all in today and for the whole week and for the rest of your life. God bless you. And remember, this week, the devil will test your patience. Let God take you over that hurdle, okay? Amen. God bless you.